Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, "I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me." Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, "In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, He discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When he permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances, he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake his servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes his abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy, and in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit, and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. Happy is the man that God correcteth. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with the ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of his presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold his dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears they do not discern him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to him in simple faith, permitting him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon Him and meditate upon His loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a realm of peace. Think of this, children of suffering and sorrow, and rejoice in hope. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ills we see, the mysteries of sorrow deep and long, the dark enigmas of permitted wrong, have all one key. This strange, sad world is but our Father's school. All chance and change His love shall overrule. What though today thou canst not trace at all the hidden reason for His strange dealings through the trial season, trust and obey, in afterlife and light all shall be plain and clear.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Just want to welcome each and every one of you this evening to Advent Light Ministry. We'll start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank You ever so much, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your promises. We thank You for Your words that remind us that You love us so much, that You chastise us, and You're beckoning unto us to come closer, come up higher, to repent, O Lord. We ask that You will forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, O Lord. Our iniquities are ever before You, Father, but we want them to be cleansed, O Lord. We want to stop, Lord, committing these acts, O Father, with our words, our deeds, O Lord, our action, O Father, our thoughts, O Father. Help us to be overcomer. Help us to be victorious, O Lord. You know the hearts of Your people. You know their frame, because You made us in Your image according to Your likeness, Lord. But You know that we are weak, Lord. We ask that we will be strengthened only by You, and that we will be blessed and be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. Please, Lord, help us, Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Don't look upon us, but look upon Christ Jesus, who died for each and every one of us. May we be clothed with His likeness. May we be clothed in His righteousness, Lord. Bless each and every one, the family representatives here, those that will be joining us, O Lord. Bless the speaker also, Lord. May You fill us this day, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit. We thank You ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining this evening. God is good, and He's truly worthy to be praised. Amen. And I will read. This is from Adventist Home. It said, an individual choice to be made. So that means we all have a choice. God, you know, He's not so stern that we have to do as He say. He give us choice. He reprove us. He show us the wrong. He teach us, but we all have a choice. And He give us time to make those choices and to repent, to see our wrong and to, you know, get it right. But yet there's going to come a day that he that is sinful will remain sinful or unrighteous, and he that is just and righteous will remain like that. So I'll start with the reading, and it's taken from Adventist Home, paragraph 298.1, and it reads, an individual choice to be made. Watch and pray and obtain a personal experience in the things of God. And this is youth, and even young adults, and, you know, your parents may teach you. They may try to guide your feet into a safe path, but it is impossible for them to change your heart. You must give your heart to Jesus and walk in the precious light of truth that He has given you. Finally, take up your duties in the home life. And through the grace of God, you may grow up unto the full stature of what Christ would have a child grow to be in him. The fact that your parents keep the Sabbath and obey the truth will not ensure your salvation. For though Noah and Job and Daniel were in the land, as I live, said the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own soul by their righteousness. Amen. So everyone has to have their own righteousness so that their soul shall be delivered. And we can only get that in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's ask God to help us, to help our children as we pray for them, as we fast for them, but they have to make a decision to choose God as their Savior. Amen. Psalms 133, starting at verse 1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment." Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, if there's anyone that wants to share part of their devotion, wants to pray, give a testimony, or have a prayer request, please press 1 so that I can open your line. This is time for you to share or for you to offer a word of prayer, encouraging word. Amen. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised even when, you know, we fail to do it. He said the rocks will cry out. The angel, we know they bow before him. And holy, holy, holy. If we will only know what a mighty God we serve, if we will only know, may the Lord reveal it to us very soon. Amen. I'll go ahead and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1-5-18-428. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you, Sister Paul, for opening my line. And I want to sing this song because I'm just happy to be here this evening. Though few in number, we just finished our devotion. And I was here on the line waiting, just waiting for you to come. So I'll sing this song in the meanwhile. Sister Paul, is that okay? Lord, with glowing heart, I'll praise thee.
Amen. Yes,
I love this song. So I'll sing it just for the opening of our service. Lord, with glowing heart, I'll praise thee for the bliss and love bestowed, for the pardoning grace that saves me and the peace that from it flows. Help, O God, my weak endeavor. This dull soul to rapture raise. Thou must light the flame, or never can my soul be warm to praise. Praise my soul, the God that saw me, wretched wanderer far astray, found the lost and kindly brought me from the paths of death away. Praise with love, devoted feeling, him who saw thy guilt-born fear, and the light of hope revealing, bid the blood-stained cross appear. Lord, this bosom's I'm feeling, then me would our lips express. Lo, before thy first kneeling, deign thy silent prayer to bless. Let thy grace my soul's chief treasure, love's pure flame within us raise. And since words can never measure, let our life show forth thy praise. Yes, and this song was written by Fanny Preston. And I love the words, Lord, with glowing hearts, I praise thee. I would like to sing another song. Lord, we come before thee now.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. I do the song service. Savior again, thy dear name we meet. Savior again, dear thy name we... No. Yes, we are doing the card of the name. And that is a nice song. It's a nice song, but it's a closing service. If you understand me, Sister thing. Sister Paula. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, let me sing Praise the Lord. I should have all my songs in the line. Let me sing. Oh, I didn't pick out my song. I have to do better than this, man. Let me sing number 5. God's free mercy streameth over all the world, and his banner gleameth by his church unfurled, broad and deep and glorious as the heavens above. Shines the might victorious his eternal love. Summer suns are glowing over land and sea. Happy light is flowing, bountiful and free. Everything rejoices in a memory. Hearts and thousand voices swell the psalm of praise. We will never doubt thee, though thou build a life. Life is dark without thee, death with thee is bright. Light of light shines o'er us, on a pilgrim way. God has stand before us to the endless day. Oh, yes. I did not take out my song, but I wanted to sing, Worthy, Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, yes. Oh. Paula, you could go ahead now and might I get another song in the meantime. You could get somebody. Yes, you could come call me back because open my line again after you finish speaking. I'm just
okay.
Have to look for this.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Sansonelli, for the song service and for your.
Yes, if you don't have anybody else, you could call me back. I'll text them back. Worthy, worthy to Lama. Trying to get that song.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Continuity, for coming on and sharing for your willingness and just for your faithfulness on this prayer line. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. And, yes, I as time permit, yes, I want to, you know, will want to open your line for another song. Praise the Lord. God is truly good. To us, even when we ourselves are not good to ourselves or not good to the Lord, you know, when we're disobedient, unthankful, ungrateful, he's still merciful and gracious to us. What a loving God we serve, brothers and sisters. Amen. So I'll go to the line and open the call for the next person. Again, press 1 if you like to share. Brothers and sisters, this is time to share. Please press 1 if you would like to share. 225-337, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open. Can you hear me? I believe this is Sister Leola. Are you muted?
Okay.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I like a song I would like to share, and I want to read a passage. Okay, let me sing this song. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some others to win. Find manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Yahshua, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil compassion, bad language is strange. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Yahshua, he will carry you through. Let's just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To him that overcome it, God give it a crown. Though faith we shall conquer, though often cast down, he who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Yahshua, he will carry you through. Let's just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Yes, brothers and sisters, he will carry us through, the Savior. So I would like to just read this little passage. It says, the Lord, what is the reward for being faithful to your commandments? There is no man that had left his house or his parents or his brethren or his wife or children for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in his present time and in the world to come. Life everlasting, Luke 18:29-30. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. Lord, am I looking forward to a home in the earth made new? Will we keep the Sabbath there too? It says, for as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 66:23. And let me read this last one. Then the Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With your help, I will keep the Sabbath. Well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew 25:21. And I just want to say thank you, Sister Carla, and I just want to say happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. And I am so happy for the Sabbath to come in for a day of rest. So thank you once again, and God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing. And for the song and also for the reading. Praise the Lord. He is truly worthy to be praised, and we should look forward for the holy day, Sabbath rest, because our bodies, it looks forward for it, but sometimes our mind, you know, we're so busy with the things of the world and trying to get so much done. But praise the Lord for his Sabbath. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. And I'd like to share Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 2. Leviticus chapter 26, starting at verse 2. Well, I'll start at verse 1. It says, ye shall make you no idol, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. Wow. Verse 5, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Amen. Verse 7, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Praise the Lord. God is good, and his promises, brothers and sisters, we have to claim these promises. But first of all, we have to know the promises so we can claim them and apply them to our lives and to the life of our family and friend, and share it with them so that they can claim it for themselves and know that the Lord, he will truly save us. He wants to protect us, but we have to give him permission to work on the behalf of each and every one of us to do the things that he has promised us. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. I want to give each and every one a chance to participate in this time, to come on and give your testimony. If you're a new caller, give your name and tell us where you're calling from. Okay. So I see no one has pressed 1. If also, if you have a song of meditation, please press 1 so that I can open your line. We know song, prayer, all of these things is a weapon and against the enemy. And it's also, it brings joy to our hearts. And I know the Lord is joyful also to hear our prayers and for us to sing praises unto him and just adore him and exalt him with our whole being. So I'll go ahead and open the next line. Again, brothers and sisters, please press 1 if you would like to share so that I can open your line next. 518-482, your line is now open. Okay, this is Sister Continelli. We cannot hear you.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Sorry. I want to read it down. Okay, I'm going to read this praise, and then I'm going to sing Worthy to the Lamb. The Amen. Lord, Psalms 91 to 12, I'm going to read. It's praise. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength there is 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I think this is a very wonderful psalm, psalm of praise. I can remember when my sister was very ill before she died. You know, the days goes by so fast. It's working, and you don't stop to see that, well, you're coming to the end of your years, that you're getting older and older, and it's time for you to check down, slow down. But some of us do not slow down, and she was a great example to me, because when she just kept working. She was a nurse, and she was an RN, so she was busy doing work, going all work in the city, going all to these projects, doing all kind of thing. But then she got sick, and after she got sick, she could not go back to work. Within 90 days, she died. It was so sad. But I'm just saying, we have to check up on ourselves and see when we should stop doing these things. Stop and think about God and his plans for us. So he's worthy to be praised. And I'm going to sing the song, Worthy, Worthy is the Lamb. Okay. Yes. Ooh. I was not getting my music. I don't know why I didn't get in my music, but it's not given. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. To the Lord. Savior, let thy kingdom come. Now the power of sin consume. Bring the blessed millennium. Holy Lamb. Glory, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. To the Lord. Thus Mary is mourn and fear. Love him, serve him, praise him still. Till we all on Zion's hill see the Lamb. Glory, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. To the Lamb. And this is a song that the redeemed are going to sing when they think of all the things that Jesus done for them. How he brought us through from this earth with all his trials and troubles. This would be his song that we, the redeemed, would be singing. Glory, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. This evening, Kind Father, I'm just going to say a short prayer. Loving Father, we come before you this evening, giving you praise and thanks for your mercy, your blessing, and your goodness towards us. Had it not been for your mercy and your grace, we would not have been on this line this evening. So we pray, Lord, that you will be with each one that come on this line. Help us to give you praise now when we can sing, whatever little we can do. Help us that we use our talents, little talents that we have, to praise you and to encourage others to serve you. Because now is the time. We do not have long here. And let us come together even on this line, that to encourage each other by giving our testimonies and thanking God for being so good to us, not only all through week, but all through our lives on this same day that we are alive. I thank God this evening that I can come to mingle my voice with my brothers and sisters, because I know that this privilege will not be always extended to us. So, Father, help us that we will take the opportunity of welcoming your Sabbath and enjoying your holy Sabbath day of rest, Father. I thank you for all those who are on the line right now, who are listening and who are taking part. Lord, we pray that you will be with us all and grant us all a Sabbath day's blessing as we wait on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath.
Praise the Lord. I can just hear it in your voice. You're just full of joy and thanksgiving unto the Lord, and you want to show it and share it with others. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for joining us. And yes, blessed Sabbath to you. Is there anyone else who would like to share? I just want to welcome each and every one of you this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Happy Sabbath. Please, also we're on Facebook, Advent Light Philippines, the Tree of Life Ministry. So after the Sabbath hours, you can, check that out if you're on Facebook. And if you have any prayer requests, scripture reading, if this is your first time joining us, we'll like you to press number one on your telephone, and that will indicate to me that you would like to share briefly, and I will open your line. Again, welcome each and every one of you. Amen. God is good, brothers and sisters. So I see no one is pressing one. Haven't the Lord been good to you? There's no praise for God. There's nothing to say of his goodness, testify of his mercy towards you, how he have kept you through this week, safely through another week. Amen. I want to read John in chapter 1. I'll start at verse 10. And it says, he, which is Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can you imagine that? You make something that everyone enjoy, everyone is a part of, and yet they did not know you. Continue. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. So if you believe on his name, if you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, he gives you power to become the sons, the daughter of God, to be saved, to be a blessing to others, and to point them to Jesus. Amen. So that they can be saved also. So I will go ahead and open the line for the next caller that has pressed 1. Amen. 240-988. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. How are you doing? How do you do, beloved?
Mm-hmm.
It is a blessing. This is Sister Steffi. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Sister Power was having difficulty. So I had to pass her in. So she's going to give her praise report and her request as well. I just want to say I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be able to see another blessed Sabbath day. And I had shared with you all that I'm going through some issues with some classes and some professors. Very difficult. It has been a difficult task and feat. However, God is good. You know how you have these professors and they're so extremely difficult, right? And so I had a presentation, an assignment that I had to submit yesterday. And I really didn't know what I was doing, I'm going to be honest with you. And she made me, we worked with a partner. And we came up with something and that was going to be it, right? We came up with something on Wednesday and that was going to be it. But on Thursday, the class was at 6 o'clock. So on Thursday, about, I want to say 11, I heard the Holy Spirit said, I need you to do this. And I was like, what? The class is almost, you know, going to be here soon. I listened. I wrote it up. I called the other partner and I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. And she said, okay, sure, no problem. The task that was given, that the Lord gave me, was supposed to take a long time. So let me fast forward. We were able to complete it. We finished the task, and I was able to complete it before the class started. But I was exhausted because we were up the night before working on the first piece that we did. And so I was exhausted. So I was like, okay, at 5, my goal was that I was going to finish up everything, be able to go take a nap, and then be ready for the class. But the second piece just took me a long time, and I didn't get the nap that I was supposed to get until 5 o'clock. But you know how your body starts shutting down. Like literally, I had to just stop what I was doing. I completed that task. I stopped what I was doing and I just went and took a power nap. So that was like about 5 o'clock. So I got back up at 5:45, took a hydrotherapy, hot cold shower, and was ready for the class. And we did the presentation. Granted, now let me tell you this, I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't know. She didn't know what we were doing, what she was doing either. And we were like, okay, God, you go lead. And lo and behold, and I'm kind of fast forward because I know we don't have all day, because we had actually lost one of the assignments that we did before. And I prayed and I said, you know what? Let me figure out how to get it back. And I was able to talk her through, and we finally, you know, God allowed us to find that document that we thought was gone. And we spent hours on it. And so I went in, and we were like the last person. I wanted to be the second group, but this is a virtual class. And so I wanted to be the second group. My line was muted, and I thought I was saying, oh, we'll go, but she couldn't hear me, so somebody else went in instead of us. And the class is supposed to finish at 8:30. At 8:34 yesterday, the class was still going. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? I did get a chance to send Sister Tamiko some information, which I told Sister Paula earlier yesterday that I might not, you know, because this is not like the same professor that let you out early. So in any event, we ended up going last, and she was like, well, you know, she was talking. I mean, the professor was just talking through. Cutting out of time and stuff. However, even though the class was supposed to finish at 8:30, we didn't start our presentation until about 8:50. And I'm telling you, this is the tough professor. I mean, I told her yesterday, I said, you know, Dr. Monica, we're going to beg you for some mercy because, you know, you've given us a lot of stuff. So we did the presentation, my partner and I, in the class. And let me tell you what the woman said. This is a tough woman. Let me tell you what the woman said. After the presentation was over, she said, I need you to present this professional development to my other class. I was like, what? She was like, I want to be in your class. This is the best presentation I've ever had. I was like, and I knew it wasn't me, beloved, because what? Did I tell you that we didn't know what we were doing? Did we tell you that we didn't have enough time to absorb all the materials? But it was just God that just led me into this direction and said, I need you to do this. And so we were able to do it. She loved it. I mean, I was shocked. She loved it. She's asking us to, you know, present. She's saying, oh, I want to be in your class. I want y'all to teach us. But she's a teacher. We're just the student. So I give God all honor, all glory, because I didn't have the wisdom. I've never done this particular, you know, yes, I'm an educator, but I've never done this particular field before, right? And so I'm going to her for her to teach me how to be able to deliver that. And she's saying to us, you know what? I need you to present this information for my scholars as well. And I just wanted to share one more thing. The girl that, the lady that I was paired up with, she's not a girl, the lady that I was paired up with, she's from the Dominican Republic, and she said something to me, and I want to leave us with this, because it is extremely powerful. As we are ambassadors for Christ, every day, every hour, we don't know who we're going to be entertaining. The Bible said we entertain angels, right? But she came in the class. I didn't know that the woman was watching me. This is a virtual class. And this is what she said to me when the teacher paired us up. I have another class with her, but I didn't know who she was, because the other class, you didn't do virtual. You just do the work. So anyway, she came in when the lady paired us up, the professor paired us up, and she said, you know what? She said to me, this is the first question. Are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. And I said, why? She said, when I came into the classroom, you were the only one that I saw that had a smile on your face. And there was a light that was over you. I was like, have mercy. I said, girl, it's not me. Because literally. And I was like, what? She said, yes. We're in a virtual space. And she was able, this is what she said, and I knew it wasn't me. She was like, when I came into the class, because she came in a little late, she said, you had a smile on your face, and there was a light. And I prayed, and I said, you know what, I want to be paired up with her. And I was like, this is nothing but God, it's not me. So I leave this to say, we are on the battlefield, we are an ambassador for Christ at all times. What we say, how we say it, people don't even have to see your face, but just a conversation on the phone, just the tone, right? And sometimes I think, you know, we get beside ourselves where we don't look at our face and look at the fact that sometimes, I used to tell my mother that sometimes as Adventists, we could be some sad, drab face. And so how do we now minister and testify to others when our face look drab, right? When we look like we have the whole world on our shoulders. So I just want to thank God that he was able to use me, and I was claiming God in the name of Jesus, and I see the prayers that we have prayed have been answered, because the professor is lightening up, right? So continue to pray for Professor Monica, right, so that she will be able to understand that, you know, we're trying to learn, but you're giving us a little bit too much. Work with us. Amen. So happy Sabbath, and I think Sister Paula is going to come on now and give her praise report. Continue to pray for me. Pray that God will strengthen me, keep me on the narrow path as we are winding down to his second coming.
Amen.
Sister Paula?
Yeah. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Paula. We listen to their report, that is more than a report, and praise report from Sister Stephanie, how God have been working in her life and the other team, and even also her professor. So I will give my praise, just a little praise. I know that the enemy is working very hard, but brothers and sisters, the Lord said here in Isaiah 60, and I will just read a little part, you know, because this is the time, as we have seen, we have to be the light of the world. Isaiah 60 said, arise, shine,
For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness, and the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to thy brightness, brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and
yes,
see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nurse at their sides. 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. I will stop there, brothers and sisters. This is the time that God is telling us that our light have to shine. This is the time that the glory of the Lord shine upon God's people, for us to go and share the gospel message, the message that God have given unto us tonight is the Sabbath message, and we know that the Sabbath is the one that is going to be a test, and we saw everything. But the Lord said in his promises that we must shine our light, and we must do it, or now is the time. So this is my little encouraging word to my brothers and sisters here. So I will just sing that little verse of this song, because I want everyone to hear. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in the courts today. Day of all, the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all, the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Father, thank you that you have kept us safely through another week.
Yes,
we ask you to bless us, Lord. Keep each one of us. Help us, Lord, that our light will shine. The time is now, dear Lord, that we have a message to proclaim. We know that the Sabbath message is going to be a test. So, Lord, help us that we will not fear no evil, but we will go out there with that power from above to do your will. Bless each heart, Lord. We heard the testimony and the praise report of our dear sister, Lord, what you have done. And you have greater work to be done if we are faithful to you. Bless each heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my daughter and myself line. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, and thank you, Sister Stephanie, for that powerful testimony. We all have a testimony to share, no matter how little or big. This is truly a blessing to hear how, and for you all to see how God is working in your life and through your life, and to encourage others to be a blessing to others. Continue to let your light so shine. Amen. So I will go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, 931-724. Your line is now open.
Greetings and salutations from the Richardson,
Amen.
Tennessee. Praise the Lord. I want to wish everybody a shout out. Happy Sabbath. God's blessing to all the brethren on the Advent Light Prayer Ministry line. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be on. My wife is here next to me, and we just say after worship, let's just call in on the Advent Light Ministry. I was on last Friday, and I heard Sister Powell and Sister Leolene asking for someone to speak, but I was in the midst of preparing some things, so I would truly have liked to have, be the ram caught in the thicket last Friday. But nevertheless, I heard some of the testimony, Sister Stephanie's testimony, very encouraging and exciting to know that how God has blessed us so we can let our light shine bright before men, live an epistle read and known of all men, that God can receive the glory and the praise. And we are glad and thankful to the Lord. This week, this past week has been a challenge for me. I would say in a sense of where witnessing, going out, whenever we go out in the shopping places, we always are giving out books and tracts. And there was just one instance yesterday we went to Harvest Time, which is not the Harvest Time Book Place Center up by Sister Carla's side, but the Harvest Time health sort of a store that sells Adventist healthy stuff, market. So we went there, and while we were going in, a gentleman was coming out, and a Caucasian gentleman, and I just was moved. I thought mainly that many who goes in there to shop are Adventists, and I just assumed that he was an Adventist. But then, to my amazement, when I handed him a book, the Sunday Law, and he saw it, he said, "I know about this Sunday Law. I heard about things coming on Sunday. Things are going to get really bad." And I found out that he was not an Adventist. So I started to explain him coming events, the Sunday Law, the papacy, the three unclean spirit like frogs that are going to come against Sabbath keepers. And I mentioned to him about the Sabbath, about the true Sabbath and everything like that in comparison with Sunday, the first day of the week. He was so amazed when I was able to explain him some things. In about 5 minutes, I was able to sort of like break down things in such a nutshell to him that he, when I handed the book, I know for a fact that he's going to read that book because he has a foreknowledge about Sunday, about the Sabbath. And thank God I came there at the right time, at the right time, at the right place to have witness to him, as the case might be. So, and I tell you, God has been good. And while we were driving back, I just give this quick one experience. While we were driving back, and we stopped at a sister's place in Waynesboro. We are yet far away from, about 45 minutes away from where we stopped to drop off the sister that we took to the store. And when I looked, I was checking for my phone, one of my phones that lost, with all my WhatsApp and contact and all these things. I couldn't find it. But lo and behold, when I look at the tire was down to the treads, meaning that it can really burst or air can come out anytime. And yet I said, you know, we had to go somewhere else to before we go home, and which was Florence. So that was like in Alabama. I told my wife, I don't think we could make it. So I said, you know, let's go home and just change a car and use the other one. So she said, no, let's go ahead. So while we were on the way to Florence, half of the way, the tire just went down. We had to pull into at a church parking place, and I was able to change the spare. And the way it happened, rain was falling in buckets of drops while we were driving. And as soon as we drove about a mile or two, the rain stopped. The rain wasn't falling where we were driving into Florence, Alabama. And thank God, with all that rain that was falling when we were driving, I would not have been able to change the tire. So God have worked it out in such a way. I say praise the name of the Lord in what he have done for us by his grace. And I know he's worthy to be praised. So I want to wish everybody a happy Sabbath. Sister Powell, and Sister Carla and the many others, Sister Constance Taylor, and all the others. God bless, and let's keep faithful to the Lord. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening up my line.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Elder Richardson, for coming on and sharing that testimony. We have to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we know, you know, the Lord speaks to us, and we have to be obedient. But thank the Lord for protecting you and your wife. And this, I believe the sister was in the car. Maybe she had came out at that time. But praise the Lord for your ministry also. We got to keep that gentleman in prayer. And everyone that we give books or track to, that they will read it and, you know, share it with others. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will go to the next caller as we are running. You know, the time is fleeting us, but I will go to the next caller. I have a couple callers that has pressed one, so I will open your line so that you can give your brief testimony or prayer request as the Lord leads you. Amen. 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. I'd like to read a devotion. Oh, Lord God, you that you sent your son to the earth, I pray for the wisdom to understand the ways that he taught and for the strength to live them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice and your resurrection. May the earth sing your praises forever, and may each soul in the world know that you reign. Amen. I just want to ask a prayer for my family. I've been like all the brothers and sisters that are sick, COVID, outside on the bridge, and wherever else they may be. Just want to pray for all the churches open in God's name, that they would preach the correct way for the Lord, that the Lord beside him preach. I just want to pray for the young, the youth, that they may get the word of God. And just want to thank the Lord for us being here today and us fellowship. And happy Sabbath, everybody. Amen. That'll be all for tonight.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. And yes, we will keep your prayer requests in our prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. I will go ahead and open two more calls, or three more as we have time. Brothers and sisters, please be brief. I'm sorry. 870-409. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open. See if your phone is on mute. 870-409. Your line is now open. Okay. I will come
back. Okay, bless
you. Amen.
All right, bless the Sabbath, Sister Carla. Yeah, sorry, this is the number I'm calling for from tonight. I've been on listening to everyone. I just want to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy, asking for prayer, because I've been listening and from everyone. My wife is having contractions every about 8 to 10 minutes apart. I'm really going to be surprised if this baby doesn't come within the next day or two. It may even come tonight. I'm not sure.
Mercy.
The Lord knows the time. So I'm asking for your prayers Yeah, I will attempt to speak, but if I need to go, I will let you know.
Yes.
Just keep us in prayer, and well, it's a blessing to hear everyone sharing their testimonies. You know, God has been so good to us this week over at the health food store. I have to tell you that our numbers have increased dramatically. People are coming in, and now we are after 7:30. The store, you know, on weekdays, except for the Sabbath, of course, which we close early on Fridays. But during the week, sometimes we have to, after 7 o'clock that we close, finding ourselves having people eating there till 7:30, 8 o'clock. And the number has, the people that have been coming in has increased. And not only that, the testimonies has increased. If I tell you guys what's been happening in that health food store, you would be shocked. My next door neighbors, Laura and Dave, who came to church with us as a result of the health food store ministry, came back this week and said that the wife went and got her mammogram done. They thought it was cancer, but praise God it was not. And he said that those five medications that I discussed with him during our consultations, and I told him to get off of it, he went to his doctor, and his doctor said, I agree with what he says. You listen to what he says. Go ahead and stop those medications. Mm-hmm. And he said since then, he's been getting a lot more sleep. They're not falling anymore like they used to because he had been on three different narcotic pills. And I said, that's contributing to your fall. And he was on amitriptyline for sleep. I said, that's a horrible medication. You need to stop that. And, you know, we do it wisely. I counsel them and I say, look, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm simply giving you educational advice. And this is the disclaimer. You are doing this on your own. And since then, he's said that his sleep has increased. He can finally sleep while he's off of these medications. And we are working on him towards making changes towards his diet and things of that sort. And, you know, continue to pray for us. But among many other things, the customers are coming in asking about Bible studies, asking about, brothers and sisters, all you got to do is go on our Facebook and go on our Instagram page, Tree of Life Natural Foods. Go on my page and you can see what is happening in Mountain Home. Something strange is happening in Mountain Home and many are being enlightened. They're all coming in saying, Tree of Life, oh my goodness, you guys, we didn't know you guys were here. We've been looking for a plant-based health food store. We've been looking for vegan foods, and we cannot find it. They are so thankful, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the Lord is doing a marvelous work. The other day, this guy came, a biker. He purchased two Bibles and one Steps to Christ. We have the National Sunday Laws on display. We have the Great Controversies on display. If people are inquiring, you know, what is this? We're having Bible studies with them, our health food classes, as well as our lectures are full. People are coming in. We've been invited to speak at the hospital. I'm going to speak on November 11th at the hospital, the Cancer Center, and they want me to explain to these people who have cancer how they can approach cancer from a nutritional standpoint and also from a spiritual standpoint. Also, we were invited to speak at the Lions Club. This is a secret society. And while they were eating there, they were eating Mexican food. They invite me in a Mexican restaurant to tell them about what they are eating, why it's unhealthy for them. And there were about 30 people there, including their pastor, who happened to be there. And I began to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, showing them the health message in the Word of God. And the lady came afterwards and another guy, and they said, where are you located? Because we want to mingle with you. We want to learn more about this. People are coming in. Another lady, a Baptist lady, came in the other day and was talking to her, and she said, we were having a conversation. Somehow Brother Mozart, because we're working with Brother Mozart now, myself, my wife is not able to do much anymore because she's way past. She's ready to pop any minute. And Brother Bernard, we're having a conversation with a sister who's from the Baptist church. and she loves our food. Her daughter loves our food. The daughter was sick, has some issues with memory and all of that, so I give her the MCT oil, and then I put her on a wheatgrass regimen as well as some flaxseed oil and help her with some bentonite clay to do some cleanse of the body to remove the heavy metals and some of the toxins. And as I'm speaking to this woman, the mother of the daughter who is sick, she says, we're having a conversation about the family. Somehow the Lord led us that. And then I said to her, you know, God created two great institutions in the beginning. And I said, the first one was the marriage institution. And then I said to her, she's Baptist. I said, do you know what the second institution was? She looked at me and she said, the Sabbath, and puts her head down. Never looked at me. I said, you said it. And I just walked away. You know, we are there to plant the seeds, and she knows what the true Sabbath is. She knows the truth, and they frequently come to our health food stores. We've had customers come in and ask us if they can invest. Two customers, one guy, his name is Steve, he has a construction business, and this man said, I told him, I said, look, I said, Steve, he said, I love what you guys are doing. Me and my wife love this type of work. I said, this is a ministry. I said, we're not here to make money. We are ministering to people. And this guy said he has about 20 homes. I said, Steve, we are looking to bring some missionaries in this town to help work the health food store, because, you know, us three, just it's not enough for us to do it. And I said, we don't have a place to put them. He said, you let me know ahead of time when they're coming, because I have a place that they can use for free. And then another guy, his name's Chasson, he said the same thing. And the other customer is saying he wants to invest. And I said, well, we got to hold on. We really need to pray about this, because what kind of investment are you talking about? But anyways, I'm just saying that to say all of these things. God is good. He is worthy to be praised. You would have to be in the store to see what is happening. Words cannot describe it. All right, they're coming in droves. Sometimes we cannot have enough product to supply these people. We need major help. And the Bible studies, right now, we have Bible studies. We have people that are waiting for home visits. We have people that are requesting cooking classes. We don't have the people to do it, because it's just us, and the church here is not really involved. You know, the majority of the church members here are in their 70s and 80s. Not that that's a bad thing, but they're not really active, and a lot of them, they're not really, you know, they don't really live the health message, so it's kind of hard for them to go and help someone when they are still eating their meat and things of that sort. And let me tell you something. We know God is good, because he says in Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, that he said, ask of me and I will give the riches of the, I will give you the riches of the Gentiles, right? If it was for Adventist support, we would have been bankrupt by now, because our support does not come from Adventists. Our support comes from the world, the people who are seeking and searching, the people who are asking questions about diet, questions about health, questions about the Bible, questions about what's happening, questions about the Sabbath, all of it. They're coming in, and they are questioning whether or not they, you know, what can they do about certain elements and situations of that sort. But I'm really glad that the Lord led us here in Arkansas, because, you know, everybody wants to pick up and go to Tennessee. But unfortunately, right, if everyone goes to Tennessee, who's going to work these other parts of the world? We are told in the spirit of prophecy that we need to go to the darkest places of the earth, not the places that we like, but wherever the Lord would have us to go, that's where we need to go. If he sends us to the North Pole, we can't say it's too cold. If he sends us to Arkansas, we can't say, well, it's racist. Wherever he sends us, we cannot be like Jonah. We must go. I'm beginning to see we are also building a big network of people here. And the people in this town, they are getting to know who we are as a people. And so I just want to thank the Lord. I praise God for the help he sent me and Brother Mozart. Sister Carlock was here a few weeks ago. You saw that when we went over that property, 1,100 acres of property that a Roman Catholic man invited us to his home. And he said he knows something is coming. He doesn't know what it is. The Lord told him to purchase this property as a Bethel, as a hiding place, not in the literal sense, but in spiritual sense, as a Bethel for those who need help. And he said he's willing to give us 360 acres without any money down, without any money that we need to purchase. He said he's willing to give it to us. All we have to do is take care of the property. So we keep that in prayer. We went to go see it. We mingled with him. I gave him the great controversy. He promised he would read it. We're supposed to be meeting with him again. And we are working with this Roman Catholic man because he invited us into his home. He said we could have a camp meeting there anytime we want. So please, keep his name is Phil. We need to pray about Phil because God is moving upon his heart. You know, he said something is coming. He said he knows there's something coming. He doesn't know what it is. He left his job, left his occupation. Really wonderful people. You know, so what the Lord is doing here in Arkansas, I cannot describe it. We have more people that's coming down. We have groups of people that's coming down from the Upper Room Ministry. Brother Mozart and I, we've joined hands. Brother Bernard, we've joined together. We've all laid down everything. And let me tell you something. The ministry that the Lord is, the store is the Lord's ministry. It's not for us for riches. The Lord is blessing. We have so many. We have a total of probably 100 or plus more emails of non-Adventists. This is what I like about Arkansas. They're not Adventists, okay? We're not preaching to Adventists who's been hearing the message for 30, 40 years and refuse to do it. These are non-Adventists who've never heard the truth. These are who we are dealing with. These are who God is calling us to minister to. So whoever is willing, whosoever is willing, you can come down and see yourself as we are in the store, praying with people, having studies with them, feeding them, all right? God is doing a mighty work, and I would never go back to where I came from because I see what the Lord was doing and why he was doing it. So may God bless you all. I'm on the line. I know it's a little late. It's like a mini sermon before the sermon, but I'll share a quick thought, and I just wanted to share this testimony and encourage everyone. Please keep us in prayer.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Yudi. Yes, yes. There's work to be done there, and I'm thanking the Lord. Spoke to Sister Melissa today and told her I'll be coming down next week to assist her and to help her as needed with the baby or with the little ones, and just to minister to her and to help also. So I will be going down for about 2 weeks or so as God leads. So. Praise the Lord for the good news and the great things that God is doing down there in Arkansas and around the ministry and the health food store, and just how people are being won for his kingdom in these very last days. I'll open the line for one more caller. Please be brief and so we can go into prayer, or you can give us a word of prayer. Amen. 631-552, your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, Sister Paula. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And Advent Life Prayer Line, truly, is a blessing to be on the line. I guess this week is a week of so much testimony, you know, because we are living in a time where you have to be a witness for God. And he has told us that we are his witness in these last days. It's a wonderful week, you know, challenges. But with God, all things work out well. I was able to meet some people, give them some books, and encourage them. And this evening, as I went into a store, and as I came out, I saw the sister that parked, and I went over to her. I said, "I remember you." She said, "Yes, that's Brother O'Neill." I said, "Yeah." So she was waiting to get one of the things to drive around in the store because she doesn't walk well because she had two surgery on her knee surgery. Yeah, so she couldn't walk that well. So I turned back and assisted her, helped her get all that she needed. Then after, she told me, I was telling her about some stuff that I make. So she told me that, "You have any with you now?" No, I said, "I don't have any with me now, but I could go home and go get it for you." So as I went to the car, saw this lady and her two sons, and they were like, she was talking to them, and I says, that's how boys are. They're always, you know, different from the girls. They draw more attention when they're so young. So I end up gave her two books. I gave her The National Sunday Law in Spanish. I asked her if she speaks Spanish and English. She said yes. So I gave her one, and I gave her another book on Christmas, Halloween, and Easter. I gave her, she said, thank you very much. And I gave her some book on the COVID-19, the real story, and also gave some tracks that that the Review and Herald printed in the 1889 on the Sabbath, 60 scriptures that spoke on refute that the Sabbath is the Lord's Day, and 40 that speak that Sunday can never be the Lord's Day. So that's one of the things that we have been using to minister to people, to give them that, and it give you instruction about the Sabbath, and also, so it was a blessing, you know, to go out there and to witness for Christ every day. When you're driving, you can share a book with somebody, encourage somebody, and the work is vast. I'm impressed what I read about Arkansas, telling you the truth. I've been tempted many times to go down there, but I'm going to be there soon, by God's grace, to go and help out my brother, because I'm really impressed of what he's doing down there. Yes, but the work is everywhere, though. But, you know, we have to come together and play our part. Those who are impressed to go can go and live a truly, Christ says, truly, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the laborers are becoming few and fewer, because many of us, we don't want to leave out of our comfort zone to pursue a course of saving souls. And that's what we are called to do in these last days of Earth history. As before we go, let me share one thing and then I pray. One, I have to share this yesterday. I have to share it before I pray. Give me one second. Give me one second, sister. Let me find it. Counsels to the Church. It's Counsels to the Church. Page 3, 27.6 and 327.7. It says, the testimony of Christ is a testimony of the most solemn character. It is to be born to the world. All through the book of Revelation, there are the most precious elevating promise. And there are also warnings of the most fearful and solemn importance. He says, Will not those who profess to have a knowledge of the truth read the testimony given to John by Christ? Here is no guesswork, no scientific deception. Here are the truths that concern our present and future welfare. What is the chaff to the wheat? The Lord is soon coming. The watchmen on the walls of Zion are called upon to awake to their God-given responsibility. God calls for watchmen who, in the power of the Spirit, will give the world the last warning message, three angels' message. Who will proclaim the time of night? It's late. He calls for watchmen who will arouse. Watchmen to what? Arouse men and women from their lethargy, lest they sleep the sleep of death. I'm going to read that sentence again. He calls for watchmen who will arouse men and women from their lethargy, lest they sleep the sleep of death. You hear that? So the church is asleep. So God is calling watchmen to arouse the people from their sleep, to proclaim this message of the hour. And that's what is going on in Arkansas, many parts of New York, and many other parts. God is waking up people. I've got a lot of invites to share at many different churches on various topics, and because people are saying that they're not hearing these things because lukewarm message is being proclaimed at this time. The people need stirring truth, and when they hear truth, they're gonna run from these fables and come unto God. Let us pray.
Amen.
Let us pray. Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, a melody sweeter than song, in celestial sphere, unceasing and fall, for my soul like an infinite cry. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Keep over my soul, my spirit tonight. Oh, Jesus, I come to you. Thank you, Eternal Father, for Jesus. Came as a babe, grew up into manhood to be a prophet. Then he took on the role after his execution by the cruel hands of the devil and wicked men for salvation. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. His ministry continued as he entered into heaven, in the holy place, to be the priest, to minister on our behalf. And on October 22nd, 1844, the day that we are celebrating today, many forgot this day, October 22nd, 1844. Very significant date in the world history and among Adventists. What has took place? Jesus went into the most holy place to take up the final phase, the investigative judgment, as Daniel 8 tells us, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. The foundation of our faith is on this. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalms 11 verse 3, if a foundation shall be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And David says in Psalm 77 verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is a God like unto thee? Father, you have done everything in your infinite wisdom to rescue man from sin and destruction. But we see many, even among your people, are drifting like the current on the sea from you. Please, O God, draw them back to you. Lord, be glad that you're not a God that enforces, as we see what going on in the world, your will on anyone. But you give men a choice to either allow their conscience to guide them by the Holy Spirit and make it right decision, or choose to grieve your spirit. It is a choice. Father, let none who have received your truth for this time run away from such a blessing. What can we give for all that you have done for us by only to surrender our lives totally into your care? What we want to gain, this whole world, and lose our soul, when billions of worlds unknown to us that you have laid await for each and every one of us? You said eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, nor it have entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for us. You said what is seen now is temporal, but what is to come is eternal. When Peter asked the question, Father, we have left all to follow thee. What will thou give unto us? And you told him, no man has left all to follow me and is worse off in this life. But I will give him 100-fold plus eternal life. Father, help us, O Lord, not to sell out our birthright for the fancies of this world, O God, and lose all that you have sacrificed for us. You left the glory above, came here to this crooked world. You didn't come as many that came and sit upon thrones. You came and you lay. You were born in a manger where animals was. And you grew up not in a palace, but in Nazareth. That's why the Pharisee says, can nothing good come out of Nazareth? But Lord, man look at the outward appearance, but you see the heart. You said foxes of old and birds of death, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay in head. You came here not to minister unto, you said, O Lord Jesus, but to minister unto others, and gave your life as a ransom for men. Lord, the same things that you have done, Lord, is what you are calling your people to do at this time, to make sacrifice for you, O God. Sacrifice don't mean that we only give our tithe and our offering, but to sacrifice all at the altar, all that you have called us to do at this time, O Lord. Help us to do it, to let go, O God, and let you rule. When we see the 12 disciples, and we see especially Simon, Peter, and the others were fishers of, were fishing, and you told them to drop their net and come follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men. They didn't think twice how they're going to feed their family, how they're going to survive. But that voice that make a difference, they were willing to let go of everything to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you're making that same appeal to each and every one of us at this time. Many of us, we have challenges that we are facing, and we think that our challenges is so deep that we cannot allow you to work things out for us. But Lord, I ask you at this time, O Lord, to forgive us. Forgive us, O Lord, for doubting. Forgive us, O Lord, for unfaithfulness, O Lord. Give us that faith, O God, like Abraham, when you call him, Jesus. You tell him to left his kindred, and you will make a great nation out of him. And Lord, you always stand to your promises. And Father, help us, O Lord, to recognize what you have done in time past. And even in these last days of earth history, you said you will do mightier things for your people. Help us, O Lord, to prove you now. Father, bless your manservant. Bless his wife, Sister Melissa. Father, as she is about to give labor any time now, Lord, pray that your angels that excel in strength be with the family. Work out this process, O God. And pray, Lord, everything will work out according to your will. Father, meet your people on the line tonight, O God. Cover them on their blood. Pray for the ministry in Arkansas, Tree of Life Ministry. Pray for those who are coming at the store. Pray for the many testimonies. I know all when people got good experience, they always said, invite others to share in that experience. And Father, that is what has been going on there. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to work all things, provide the means, oh God, so that things can work out in the way that it should. Bless Brother Bernard, Brother Mozart, Sokola, and all those who have went down to help, even the construction of the place that Brother Edie, Sister Melissa's dad came all the way from the Philippines to do a great work. Even Caleb was one of the labor on the development of things. Father, I pray, Lord, things will work out according to your will, and your name will continue to be glorified all over this world. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for that prayer. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And I will open the line back for Brother Yudi. And please join us Sunday evening, if you did not get a chance to share, Sunday evening, same time, 7 to 9, or a little after as the Holy Spirit leave, and also on Thursday for Health Reform Thursday. Amen. Brother Yudi, your line is now open. Brother Yudi? Unmute your line. If you're able to speak, I pray that Sister Melissa is doing okay. And
oh, I'm sorry, my line was muted. Yes.
Okay.
My guys are getting a little rest right now.
Okay.
Let us pray as we begin. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day that you have given unto us. We want to give you our hearts. We want to give you our fears. We want to give you our doubts. We want to give you every unbelief that we harvest. For you said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Father, we desire to diligently seek thee tonight, notwithstanding our sins and our unrighteousness. We commemorate, as this day is now past, October 22nd, 1844, 177 years since you have been in the most holy place. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And dear Father, we know not the phase of the judgment in which you are in at this time. But we are also told in that every idle word that we speak, we shall give an account for it in the judgment. For by our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. O Father, the enemy even will bow and say, thou art righteous, O Lord. We cannot give account to Christ, because everything that he says, he will have it written down in the books. He will have it written down in the books. Our thoughts, our words, our actions is all recorded by the recording angel. And dear Father, we ask that you would blot out our sins and not our names from the book of life. As we get into your word, give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's study is really not a sermon, but it's more of an interactive Bible study. And as I've been watching the Upper Room Ministry, and how they sometimes do their Zoom meetings, I think that this is something that I'm going to probably start to work towards for us by God's grace. It takes a lot because some of the older folks may not understand the technology, but it would be good for us to be able to see one another, right, as we are speaking, as we are meeting together. But so keep that in prayer as we attempt to do that. Now, in Revelation, the sixth chapter is where we're going tonight. So interactive meaning that I'm going to be asking questions. So if we can have everyone pay attention and not have noises in your background, because Sister Carla, if there's a noise in the background of someone, if there's interruption, please mute it. And I want to remind us that even though we are on a prayer line, that the Bible tells us that wheresoever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Sometimes we need to remember that we are attending church, even though we are using a technology, but we are in church. So just like you wouldn't be cooking in the background if you were in church, you wouldn't be washing dishes, you shouldn't be doing those things on the Sabbath anyways, but sometimes you can hear that those things happening in the background and when people are speaking or whatsoever it is that they're doing. And that is an interruption, and God is not pleased by those things. And so I'm asking for the lines that are going to be open to make sure it's quiet. If it is not quiet in your background, then you would do well to mute your phone, because we're going to go through an interactive study. So if you would go ahead and open up the lines of everyone, Sister Carla, and just monitor which line noises are coming from, because then we need to mute it. I'm asking you politely as we get into the study, because this is a very powerful study. We're going to look into the fifth seal and the plea of the martyrs. Again, the message is the fifth seal and the plea of the martyrs. We're in Revelation, the sixth chapter, and I want someone to read carefully Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Again, our message entitled is the fifth seal and the plea of the martyrs. We are in Revelation, the sixth chapter, verses 9 through 11. And I will read it, or if someone is ready, they can go ahead and read that.
Amen. Revelation chapter Amen. 6, verse 9 to 11. Most kind Loving Eternal Father, bless the reading tonight, and I pray, Lord, that we have interaction, that we may learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice," this figuratively to speak, "they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until the fellow servant also and their brethren that should be killed as they were. Should also, I guess somebody phone you to mute.
Yes. Somebody's phone.
Brother Yudi, as we read that text a while ago, something I have to add this text to it as well. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 11, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened the mouth and received thy brother's blood from thy hand." Yes, I have to incorporate that, because we know that Cain slew his brother Abel, and he says right there, and he said, "What hast thou done? Of thy brother's blood cry it unto me from the ground." And you see that we have to add scripture to scripture right there. So we see that the blood of the saint crying out is not in a literal sense, but in a figurative language.
Yes. Thank you, brother. And we are going there. So that we are opening up in this verse, because we need to understand the fifth seal and the plea of the martyrs. And this is going to be a very quick study. Now, in verse number 9, the Bible tells us that when he had opened the fifth seal. Now, notice what it says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Somebody read Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And the Bible says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering, and," notice, "he went forth conquering and to conquer." So now these seals is important, because this seal is a representation of the triumph of the Lamb. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with" what? "Seven seals." So this is what we see here in Revelation, the fifth chapter. There was given seven seals, a book that had seven seals. And the Bible says in verse number 2, can somebody read verse number 2 and 3? All right, let us move quickly. If the lines are open, please don't linger. Revelation 5, verse 2 and 3.
Revelation 5, verse 2 and 3. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon."
All right, so notice that the seals there were given, were in the book, rather, but no one was worthy to do what? To open the seal. Now, I want someone else to read verses 4 and 5. Someone else, verse 4 and 5. Revelation 5, 4 and 5.
Revelation 5, starting at verse 4, reads, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof."
Thereof. Thank you. Amen. So who was actually, notice what happens in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, right? There's a sad scene in Revelation 5, verse 2, because the Bible says, "And I saw a strong angel." Now, this is not just a human being, right? This is an angel that is coming from heaven, a messenger. "A strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is" what, everybody? "Worthy." Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And verse number 5 says, "And one of the elders said unto" before we go to verse 5, the Bible says, notice verse number 3, because this is significant. It says, "No man in heaven." Did you guys hear that? "No man in heaven." That's interesting. "Nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Now, why is this significant? Because these seals could not just be opened by anyone. So we should consider, notice what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters. We should consider Revelation 5 and Revelation 6 of highest importance. That God in his mercy would have opened up these seals so that we can come to a knowledge and an understanding of the truth that is here being presented. Notice what it says in commentary and manuscript releases. 39, 1906, it says, "When the fifth seal was opened, John the Revelator and vision saw beneath the altar the company that were slain for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, this is present truth for this time. Because notice what it says in verse 11. Go to Revelation 6, verse 11 again. In Revelation 6, verse 11, the Bible says, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a season until their fellow servant, also of their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So there is a combination of old martyrs in the days of old. We're going to see, and we're going to see who the first martyr was in the Word of God, and a combination of new martyrs who are going to die in the last days. For what purpose? For the Word of God for the testimony which they held. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse number 3 of Revelation 5. It says that no man in heaven was worthy to do it. Moses couldn't do it. Elijah couldn't do it. Enoch, who even walked with God, was not worthy to open the seal. Neither anyone under the earth was able to even look thereon, the Bible says. Not only were they able to open it, but they could not look thereon. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, there's a sad scene. The angel, John, who's being given the vision, John says, verse 4, and I wept much. This man is crying like a baby because he saw that there was not an individual, whether in heaven, whether on the earth, whether under the earth, that could actually not even open but look within this book, my friends. And as John is in tears, the Bible says in verse number 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, thank you, Jesus, weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. Amen? He has prevailed to open the book, and not only to open it, but to loose the seven seals thereof. So this is what's going on here. So now we are looking at the seven seals that were opened by the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the one who was worthy. He is worthy, O God, to receive our glory. He was worthy to open these seals. And now we are in the fifth seal because we see under the fifth seal the plea of the martyrs. Now let's go quickly here. The time is rushing on. And when? Verse 9, Revelation 6. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for what? The word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, who was the first martyr? Who was the first martyr? And then Brother O'Neill was going ahead of us. We're going to Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to Genesis, the fourth chapter, and notice the first martyr. There's a few points I want to bring out in this study, and then we're done. Genesis, the fourth chapter. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis, the fourth chapter. And we will look in Genesis, the fourth chapter, and beginning at verse number 5, and we're going to read in verse 5 through 10. I want someone else to be involved. Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 5 through 10. We're reading here about the first martyr, the first Christian martyr, because the Bible underscores that, and we're going to show you this scripture upon scripture, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. Anybody has it?
You want to show you anyone on the line can read?
If we have it, let's read it, because time is wasting. Look.
My line is open. I have it.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lie at the door. Shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
Verse 10.
Oh, okay. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother, blood, cried unto me from the ground.
Have mercy. Now, there's a figurative language because we are looking at the fifth seal, because the fifth seal shows what in verse 11? The blood, right, of the martyrs, the blood of the saints. And the Bible tells us, we're going to see quickly, that in that fifth seal, the blood is actually crying to heaven. The blood is crying before Jehovah. It's crying before him, and it's saying, and the Bible says, is here saying, when Cain was questioned, where is thy brother Abel? Verse 9. And Cain repeated with a lie, and he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? In verse 10, he said, what hast thou done? The voice, have mercy, of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from where? From the ground.
From the ground.
I want to show you similar language in the Word of God regarding this verse, because this is a similar language. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 51. Luke 11, verse 51. Someone go to Luke 11, verse 51. And then someone else go to Hebrews 12, verse 24.
Luke 11, 51.
Yes.
From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation.
Of this generation. Oh, my friend, let's get into this message tonight.
Yes. Brother Yuri, before you continue, I want to read this quote, please. It's a short quote. I want to read it from Testimony Volume 9. Testimony Volume 9, page 267.1, and it's a warning. The chapter is a warning. The fifth chapter of Revelation needs to be closely studied. It is of great importance to those who shall act a part in the work of God for these last days. There are some who are deceived. They do not realize what is coming on the earth. Who permit their minds to become beclouded in regard to what constitutes sin and are fearfully deceived. The last paragraph, as I close, he says, unless they make a decided change, they will be found wanting. When God pronounced judgment upon the children of man, they have transgressed the law and broken the everlasting covenant. And they will receive according to their works.
You see that? The fifth chapter of Revelation should be what?
Closely studied.
Amen. There's a reason why we're there tonight. Because we need to understand what this chapter has to do with the coming crisis. My friends, there's a coming crisis. Grocery stores are getting bare. If you're not following what's happening, okay, grocery stores are getting bare. And this will begin especially in the city, because the cities are going to see a worse crisis than those who are in the country. All right? The Bible tells us in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that there's coming also a famine, It will not be a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but it will be a famine for what? For hearing
the word of the Lord. Of God.
And the Bible says, they shall run to and fro, seeking to find a word, and they shall not find it.
Find
we
it.
Are told in the commentary to that verse that this is a representation of the closing of probation, that Christ, who has been in the most holy place for 177 years, October 22nd, 1844, we are in October 22nd, now 23rd, 2021, for 177 years. How long did Noah preach for?
120 years.
120. Have mercy. He has been long with us, my friends. The message was preached in the days of Noah for 120. He's been in the most holy place for 177 years. And he's getting ready to close up the work. And we should understand our bearing and the role that we should play as a people in closing the work. Nobody should be standing idly by. Nobody should be standing idly by. Noah was preaching, ministering as he was preparing the boat, preparing his family. He was preaching to those who were lost. And notice what this says. So in Genesis chapter 4, we see that the first Christian martyr was Abel, right? Here in Luke chapter 11, verse 51, the Bible confirms that the blood of Abel, and now added the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of what? Notice what the Bible says. The blood of Abel shall be required of Cain? No. The blood of Abel shall be required of this generation. Abel is a symbol. He is a symbol of every Christian martyr, even the martyrs that are being perished, that are dying today, my friend. And let's go back to Revelation chapter 6, because there's a point I want to make here as it relates to what Christ is doing in the most holy place. When Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 9, and I'm getting ready to close, but there's a point. This is an open, interactive study, so we want to hear, because I'm going to ask some questions, okay? Notice what the Bible says, and I want those to be quiet who knows the answer, okay? And I'll make a plea, and then we'll see, because this is not about who knows the most, but this is about us coming together to study. In Revelation, the 6th chapter in verse 9, the Bible tells us that when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altars of them that were slain for what two things?
The word of God.
And the testimony which to help. Now, the Bible tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Right? So it wasn't just a testimony that they had merely, right? But they also had a testimony about the prophecies. Are you following? So these martyrs were martyred for the word of God. They were martyred for what they stood for. Are we getting into a place, are we getting into a time in the world where we will be martyred for the word of God and for the testimony which we hold, my friends? Are we getting there to that point where Christianity will not be popular, true Christianity, where true Protestantism will be mocked and derided and attacked, my friends? Are we going into a place where we are going to have to run to the mountain? Is that coming? Is that coming, my friend? Is that coming? Are we at a place now where we can be tracked down everywhere we go if we have a simple device like a cell phone? Are you following me? So these martyrs were martyred for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Verse number 10 says, and they cried with what kind of voice? A loud voice, saying, notice what they cried. How long, O Lord, holy and true, here's the question, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Pause. What was the question that the dead martyrs cry to heaven?
How long?
Anybody else on this line listening tonight? What was the question? I want you to underscore and mark this question. What question did the martyrs ask to heaven. I'm just hearing one person speak. What question did the martyrs ask heaven in Revelation 6, verse 10?
How long until Jesus will avenge the blood of those that were slain?
Right. Let me ask you a question. Here's the question. Why are the martyrs who are dead speaking? Because the Bible says the dead know not anything. Now, we will have to go before kings and before judges to explain our position as Seventh-day Adventists. And my question to you tonight is, why are these dead people saying, how long will you avenge my blood, to heaven? What is the meaning of this text? All right. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 12. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Let's get a meaning. Let's get a meaning, because we need to be able to explain these things, right? Because somebody say the dead do not, if somebody comes to you and say, well, you said, see, they're in heaven. They're crying in heaven, but they're dead. How can you prove your position as a Seventh-day Adventist, not from the writings of Ellen White merely, but from the Word of God? How can you stand before them and show this your position on what you're talking about here? Notice what it says. Are you following? We are in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Are we together? Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I want somebody to read verse 22. We're going to stop at verse 24. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. Let's go, friends. We need somebody else to read tonight. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24.
Nobody read. I can read.
Amen. Don't be shy, brothers. Let's read. Read on. Read the Bible. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. Let's get involved. Hebrews 12
from 22 to 24.
Go on.
Hebrews 12.
Do you have it?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Who is it?
24.
Nobody.
A lot of people on, but I got to say something for me.
Okay, brother, I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right, somebody, brothers and sisters, is the day of salvation. We have no time. Let's go, brothers and sisters.
22, 23. But ye are come unto Mount Sinai, the Seir, Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an immutable company of angels, to the general assembling and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of the just man made perfect. And 24?
24. Yeah.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Oh, let's pause right there. What did Genesis 4, verse 10 says? Leave your finger right there. Leave your finger right there. Genesis 4, verse 10 said what? That thy brother's blood
cry out unto me from heaven.
Now Paul is writing here about the sanctuary, and he says in verse 24 that the blood of Christ speaks better things than that of the blood of who? Of Abel. Are you seeing this? So are you guys beginning to see this? So So the blood of Abel and the blood of the martyrs that are crying is a symbolic language. It's a symbolic language. They're not really in heaven speaking because they're dead. And the Bible does not misconstrue or say things one way and then flip it and say it in another way. Now, I want you to go back now to Revelation, the sixth chapter, because we're going to understand this terminology. We're going to understand this from a bigger language because there's more in that verse that we need to unpack and understand tonight. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, all right, it says, and they cried with a loud voice. Who's crying? Who's crying, by the way? Who's crying with a loud voice here?
The martyrs.
Hey.
The martyrs. Okay, the martyrs are crying, right? Do you agree with that?
Okay.
Okay? And where are the martyrs, by the way?
Dead.
They're dead.
They're dead. Okay, so they're not in heaven, yeah. Right? They're dead. Okay, very
no,
good. They're
no.
dead. They're dead. Okay, you guys agree with that. But even though they're dead, symbolically, all
your
right,
blood.
Symbolically, they are crying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? Now, the word avenge means to take vengeance. The Bible says vengeance is what?
Mine.
I will repay the Lord. Remember that woman? Remember that woman in Luke 18? Remember that woman in Luke 18? The woman in Luke 18 with the unrighteous judge who was crying before the judge. Remember what the woman said in verse 7 of Luke 18? Somebody go there quickly. Luke 18, verse 7. Because this woman had been praying before this judge, and the judge was a wicked judge, right? And the judge would not listen to the plea of this woman. And the Bible says that the woman persistently went to that judge and was crying.
Oh, yeah.
Release me of my enemy.
Verse 7, right?
Verse 7.
And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
Long with them, yes. Verse 8, Brother Neil, verse 8.
I know. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth.
So what was the issue? What was the issue? Why was God not avenging this woman?
Because he bare long suffering.
He was long suffering, so he was bearing long with her. But did the woman give up? Did she give up?
No,
she did not.
Because that judge was a representation of heaven. It was a representation of the Father. Are you understanding? The judge was a representation of the Father. Even though the judge was a wicked judge, the Father is not a wicked, but the judge was the representation of the Father. And what the Bible tells us is if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our own children, how much more will the Father give us the Holy Spirit to those that ask? If that wicked judge was willing to surrender to this woman because she kept coming to plead, she was persistent in prayer, right? How much more would God, who is long-suffering, also avenge us, right? But remember, the question is not whether or not God will avenge us. The question is not whether or not the Father will avenge us, right? But the question is whether or not we will have the faith to continue to pray.
Amen.
And that's why it says in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man, the whole story is about faith in Luke 18, all right? When the Bible uses the word nevertheless, it really means everything that happens before that doesn't really matter. But here is the as Ecclesiastes says, right? Here is the whole crux of the matter. Nevertheless, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? That's what the whole story is about. So this is a story of faith. Back to Revelation 6 now. Because in verse number 10, the martyrs are crying, how long, O Lord? How long will you avenge our blood? Those martyrs, we are told, around the days of the Roman Catholic Church's Dark Ages, the martyrs were being burned at the stake alive. And we are told that some of them were crying as they were burning at the stake. They were crying singing, not crying in the literal sense. They were crying to heaven. They were crying, singing to the Lord. All right?
The word cry
in the scriptures, that word cry is often used as a symbol of prayer. All right?
Yeah.
The Bible used the word cry as to symbolize prayer, right? They were crying before the Lord. They were praying. They were singing, even as they were burning, my friends. And we are told that every time they kill one, 10 more would be begotten, 10 more Christians. They would say, what is it about these people that would cause them, as they are burning for the word of God, as they are burning alive for the testimony which they held, that they would sing in such a way, I want to know about the faith that they had. Are you listening to me, my friends? So, but notice what's happening here, because what the Bible is doing is showing a previous picture of the martyrs to represent that some of us are going to have to be martyred for the word of God as well.
Amen.
Some of us are going to have to be martyred for the testimony which we hold. You don't believe me? Let's go to Hebrews 11.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting ready to wrap this up. Hebrews 11. I want you to go there. Let me show you something. Hebrews 11, because we often talk about faith, right? What is faith?
It's a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen.
My favorite answer, Sister Leona. But you know what? That is
not
faith.
That low.
That's not faith.
That is not faith.
That is the definition of faith. That is the definition of faith.
Faith
is not a definition. Faith is an experience. That's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. And here's the next word. And keep the faith of Jesus. Not here are they that have faith in Jesus, but here are they that keep the faith of Jesus.
Amen.
We need to have the faith of Jesus, not faith only in Jesus. Are you following? And these days, the Lord is calling out for people who have the faith of Jesus. Because what we're getting ready to go through, what we're getting ready to experience, she says, pen cannot even picture.
Mercy.
She says it is often the case in contemplation of something that we tend to blow it up. But she says, in this crisis that is coming, pen cannot picture it. It's going to be that bad. Helen White said, we're going to have a faith that will, we're going to have a faith that will withstand hunger. Mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. A faith that will withstand delay. A faith that will withstand hunger. Abel, the first martyr, is here being pictured in a sense as a symbolic language that his blood is crying before heaven. In Revelation and Hebrews 11, are we in Hebrews 11? Remember, I asked you the question, what is faith, right? Mm-hmm. Faith, to put it this way, faith is an experience.
Mm-hmm.
We have to experience faith. Mm-hmm. All right? I'll give you a story of faith. And this is a side dish. Write this down in your own time. Hebrews chapter, Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. All right? Mm. Romans 4, 17, in your own time, the story of Abraham. Now, notice what the Bible says regarding faith. In Hebrews 11, are we in Hebrews 11?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. I'm going to read this one for you. In Hebrews 11 and verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. Father, as we close, give us more understanding. It says, and what shall I say more? And what shall I more say? That's a little weird, the way it's written. And what shall I more say? Paul is writing. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Was that a story of faith, Gideon? Gideon's army?
Mm-hmm.
For the time would fail me to tell of Barak. The time would fail me to tell of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Who through what, everybody? Faith. Did what? Subdued. What did they do?
Kingdom.
Let me ask you a question. Did Daniel subdue a whole kingdom by himself through faith?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He did. Did Joseph subdue a kingdom? That man was put in prison based upon a lie, something that he never did. And through the faith of Jesus, that had that Joseph had the faith of Jesus, not faith in Jesus only, he had the faith of Jesus. Through that faith, Joseph subdued a whole kingdom to the point that when the famine came, are you following me? Literally, spiritually, when the famine came, who did they call to be the economic advisor of Egypt?
Joseph.
And Ellen White says that every Seventh-day Adventist institution needs to be to the world what Joseph was to Egypt. Every Seventh-day Adventist needs to be to the world what Joseph was to Egypt. Are you a problem solver? Because when the world has issues and they can't solve their sicknesses, when they can't solve their diabetes, when they can't solve their high blood pressure, can they come to you as a Joseph to tell them what to do?
Help us, Lord.
When that king went to Joseph, that king said, Joseph, look, I had a dream, man. I, even if you explain the dream, I don't even know what to do. And the Bible says, who says? The Bible says that there was a spirit in him that the king saw and knew. And the king said, Joseph, look, you take control of this matter because I know not what to do. We are called to be the head and not the tail. But that's good. That's good story of faith. But let's continue because the Bible is going to do something here. It's going to take a turn. And you're going to see some things now that Paul is describing as an experience of faith that you probably never thought that to be faith. Because let me tell you a little story, my friends. John the Baptist's head being handed on the platter was a story of faith. Let me say that again. John the Baptist's head being handed on the platter was also a story of faith. Do you remember what happened when the disciples of John went to Jesus and say, look, Jesus, they're about to kill John. He's in the prison. What did Jesus do? Nothing. He did nothing. To the point that John the Baptist questioned whether or not he was the Messiah. Are you following me, my friend? Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Are we ready to go through this experience? Are we ready to go through this coming crisis that's coming? Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse number 34. The Bible says, in verse, I'll begin again at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness through faith, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Through what? Through faith. Out of weakness, they were made what? Strong. Are you weak tonight, my friends? Are there temptations that are causing you to fall? And you fall again and again and again. The Bible says that through faith, our weaknesses can become what? Our strengths. Have mercy. Have mercy. Through faith, out of weakness we're made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Did David wax valiant in fight? Yes, he did. Turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women through faith received the dead, their dead raised to life again. And others, now here's the other story of faith that you probably would have never thought of. And others were what? Were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. They were what? Tortured. Could the martyrs have accepted deliverance? Yes, if they had just simply faith and denied, if they had denied their faith, they could have avoided. If they did what Peter did, they would have avoided death.
Yes.
Peter said, I don't know that man. Peter said, I don't know that man. They said, what do you mean you don't know that man? I saw you with him. He said, no, he cursed.
so that they would see that he did not know Christ. And they said, wait, your speech gives you away, Peter.
No,
so he said, okay, my speech gives me away. He started cursing.
One of the Martha did deny Christ, but after repented as well, like Peter. I don't remember his name.
That's right.
One of the Martha.
That's right.
He denied
That's
Christ,
right.
and then he said he couldn't
That's
go.
Right.
The Spirit reminded him, and he went on and take the martyr's death for Christ.
That's right.
I think
That's
it's
right.
John Calvin.
Right.
I think one of them.
Yeah. Yes. Now, notice what it says in verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were what? Others were tortured. Others were what?
Mm-hmm.
Tortured.
Others
were tortured. That's faith as well. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging. Yea, moreover, some were in bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having promised some better thing for us, that they without us should be made what? Perfect.
Amen.
Do you see that, my friend? Some of these people were what? They were tortured.
Some was caught up on
the... Mr. Caller, can you open the 111 line? Because this phone is about to die. Can you open the 111 line for me? I'll continue on that line. Amen.
And Brother Yudi, right quick, I want to ask you what valiant, that's how you spell my name, V-A-L-L-I-N, what valiant means, what it means?
Valiant means brave.
Brave.
Great, you said?
Brave, I think, brave.
It means to be brave. Valiant means to be brave, yes.
To be brave, to be brave.
Okay, you spell my name is spelled like that.
Yes,
okay.
that means valiant. That's why it says they waxed valiant in fight. In other words, they were like warriors. It's valiant is another word for warrior.
Yeah.
Okay.
The man of valor.
It's a
warrior. The man of valor. Remember the man of valor.
Okay.
The man of valor.
That's right. Now let's put this in context, right? The Bible says that these men who were slain with the sword, these men who wandered about in sheepskin. You know why they wandered about in sheepskin? Remember, Brother O'Neill, when we were working with Anthony and I had you put on the sheepskin? You know why? Because these men were running in the cold in caves.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that they had to keep them warm was the sheepskin.
Warm was sheepskin, and it's really warm.
Yeah.
It was cold that day.
That's what the Bible – That's right. That's what the Bible is talking about when it says they wandered about in sheepskin and in goatskin, being destitute, being afflicted, being tormented. And then it says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy.
Mercy.
The world was not
that
worthy.
These men, mercy.
They were not, the world was not worthy of these martyrs. And so God allowed them to be killed. Now, that's also a story of faith. That God did not deliver the martyrs. He allowed them to die for his name's sake. Because if it were not for them, then they would not have given such a powerful testimony of what the Spirit can do in them.
Amen.
You know, let me tell you something. Let me just say one thing real quick. Why do some of the young men in the United States enlist in the Army and the Navy to die for something? You know why? You know why? Because they believe in it.
Mm.
Whether it's wrong or not is not the question. But the point of it is, are you as a Christian willing to die for it?
Mercy.
Are you willing to die for it? Because if you're not, then you don't even need to be in it. Are you willing to die for what you believe? Yes, I believe we had a question. I'm about to end because there's more, and there's more. And go back to Revelation 6. There's more. There's more.
It was a comment. So God gave him gave them his strength. Jesus gave them his strength to endure these trials, right?
That's right. That's right. The Spirit empowered them to go through it. And this is the thing. We can't depend on our own strength. That's why the Bible says, not by might, nor by strength, neither by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Right?
And he said,
that's what we need. Once we have the Spirit of the Lord, we will have the strength of the Lord. How do you suppose, what do you think enabled Christ to go through the cross experience? The same thing. Because remember what they said, come down from the cross, man. You don't have to die. Even Peter said, you don't have to die. He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
What Christ says, that he endured through the things that he suffered. In Hebrews, I said,
that's
the things
right.
that he suffered.
That's right.
In other words,
you have not yet resisted unto blood. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against what? Against sin.
Sin.
Against sin. I'm going to show you that text. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Have we? You know what that scripture means?
Hebrews
you have not
12,
yet.
4.
Huh?
Is it Hebrews 12:4?
That's right. Go to read Hebrews 12:4.
You read it already. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
What does that text mean? Are we ready to resist sin unto death? Have mercy. You know what we are told in the spirit of prophecy? Sister White says that the 144,000 will go through an experience where at the end of that experience, they will rather die than to sin. They will literally have the experience of Hebrews 12, verse 4. They will literally would rather give up their life than to sin. Are we ready for that? Because that's what's going to enable us, my friend, to go through this coming crisis. And I always say this, and I'll say it again. The Lord is not waiting for the National Sunday Law to be passed to come.
Amen.
If that's what you think he's waiting for, get it out of your mind. You know what he's
Christ
waiting for?
Lesson. Christ's object
he
lesson.
He said when it's,
page 418,
when it's character.
Yep.
When his character is perfectly
reproduced in his people,
then will
shall
he
come to claim them as his own.
As their own. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for you and I to reflect his character. He's waiting for you and I to get to a point where we are resisting sin unto God, where we will say, you know what? Where Brother Yudi or Sister Leola or Sister Carla will say, I will rather die than to commit this sin.
Amen.
That's what he's waiting for. That's what he's waiting for.
And James chapter 1, verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord
right.
has promised to them that love him, to them that love him.
That's right. That's right. So let's wrap this up because this is powerful. Let's go back to Revelation 6 because there's another point that I'm going to show you that you probably never saw before. Revelation, the 6th chapter. So now the martyrs are crying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? And we know that these are not literal dead people that are crying because the dead knoweth not anything. But these are a symbol. Their blood symbolizes something, just like the blood of Christ symbolizes his death. Is Christ's blood still speaking today? Yes.
Yes.
Every time you go and you ask for repentance, his blood is speaking.
It's
a symbol. It's symbolic language. Now, notice what the Bible says, because the Bible goes from the Dark Ages, right, or the beginning of the martyrs, Abel, all the way up to the Dark Ages, and now the Bible goes to another period of time another period of history in that same, in the very next verse, that connects two thoughts and two ideas. Notice what it says in verse 11. It says, and, because remember, they're crying, how long, O God, right? How long will you not avenge my blood? And then the Bible says, and is a conjunction word that combines two thoughts or two ideas. And is like a crazy glue. You know what crazy glue is? When you break something and you want to put it together, you use crazy glue. So and is like crazy glue. So and is going to connect two thoughts that is kind of far apart from one another. Watch this. And white robes were given unto every one of them. Let's pause right there. Let's pause right there. And I don't know, Brother O'Neill, don't say anything because this is very bad. Let me ask you a question. Who were the white robes given unto? This is not a tricky question. Who were the white robes given unto? The martyrs. Very good. That's a very good point. So did the martyrs receive white robes while they're in heaven? Or was it after the second coming of Christ?
After the second coming of Christ.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? You sure about that too? Anyone else?
Thessalonians.
Anyone else?
It said they should rest a while for a little season.
Okay, thank you. So Sister Carla caught it. You read the end of the verse. So then it could not, the white robes were not giving unto them when Jesus came. Because the Bible says, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a while. So they're still dead.
A little, oh, yes.
They're still dead.
Until they agree they should be killed like them.
I'm waiting now.
Brother Yudi, the text that was supposed to be read about Christ in Hebrews 5, verse 7 and 8. Hebrews 5.
Okay.
It says.
Yes. Go ahead.
Who in the days of his flesh, meaning Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying, Christ was crying too, crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though, listen this carefully, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the thing he suffered.
Which he said.
So Christ cried.
Okay, you still there? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
All right. Time is going to run out, but let me just read. Let's go back to the question. When was the white robes given unto the martyrs when they are dead? Okay. If the martyrs are dead, because again, we are before kings. We got to explain our position as Seventh-day Adventists. If the martyrs are dead, when did they receive the white robes? Because the Bible says in the very next sentence, and was said unto them that they should rest a while, rest for a season until their fellow brothers should be killed as they were. When did they receive the white robe?
At the second coming of Jesus?
Okay.
Yes.
In Ephesians chapter 3.
Yeah.
Verse 9.
I think you guys are overthinking it. But go ahead, I'll let you read Ephesians chapter 3. You guys are overthinking
it. It says, verse 9 and 10, and to make all men see that the fellowship and the mystery which from the beginning of the old world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly place by be known the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So, in verse 15, of it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So in other words, it's saying that once we accept Jesus Christ and live for him, even those martyrs, they are sitting in what? Heavenly places in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay. I got it. I got it.
No, well, that's not quite, you got it. Sister Carla, go ahead. When was it given to them?
So the white robe is already promised. It's already given to them, but they won't receive it
until
you know, his second, until their brothers are killed.
No. They already have the white robes before the second coming. The white robes. No, wait. Let's pause. Listen. Let's pause. Let's just, Father, as we close, give us with. It says, and white robes were given, past tense, unto them.
Yes.
Right? So that means they already received it. When the second coming comes, they already have the white robes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're dead. So my question is, when did they get it? All right, I'm going to reveal the answer. Come on, brothers and sisters. They received the white robes after October 22nd, 1844. The judgment begins with the righteous dead and passes on from the dead to the living. So what Christ is doing in the most holy place is doing the judgment of those that are dead, those professed Christians who are dead, and he's saying, okay, your character, you have a white robe. The judgment began with Adam.
Amen.
After 1844. is when the white robes were given unto them. Serious matter. The Bible is a true book.
Amen.
Amen.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Did Christ begin his work in the sanctuary in 1844? Yes. Right? Who was the first name that came up in the judgment? Adam. The first one. Right. So he's going through each one. He's going through Abel, white robe. You got a white robe. Based upon the judgment. That's why he said when he returned, he already has his reward with him.
Revelation 22.
Wait a minute. That's Adam was the first. Didn't Abel die before Adam?
Yes. Abel. Good one. Abel was the first one. Whoever it was, but we know that what Christ is doing is, Sister White says in A Great Controversy, the investigative judgment begins with the righteous dead.
Amen. Yes.
And it passes on from the dead unto the living.
To the living.
Why you would say that it is Adam, because Adam was the representative of the human race when God created. So it has to begin with him.
And that is not something that I can prove, but either way, I know for a fact that the right word was given unto them after 1844.
Amen.
And then it says for them to rest for a while until their fellow servants and also their brothers
shall be killed
as they work. Should they be killed? The fifth seal of the martyrs. It's a very powerful. That's why we just read the fifth chapter of Revelation should be closely studied.
Amen.
You know, whenever Sister White writes something about the Bible and says this should be, you need to pay attention. It should be closely studied. Mm-hmm. So the investigative judgment of 1844 today is the 23rd, but yesterday commemorates 177 years. And you know what Sister White says is the representation when the National Sunday Law is getting ready to be passed. We are on the edges of the judgment passing on to the living. Guess what? And this is where he will say, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And Sister White says in the Great Controversy that in the judgment, every case that will be decided, that they will be, every individual will be scrutinized as if they were the only one that ever lived. You know what that means? There is a microscope on your life, and you're going to be judged as if you were the only one that ever lived. you know what that means? You know what that tells me? My righteousness is not good enough. We got to be covered, hidden in him.
mm-hmm. not by work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. As he said.
We all should study this chapter 28 of the Greek controversy, facing your life record.
That's right. That's a good chapter to study. Facing our life records. Well, you know, we're going to have to all give an account. And here's the thing. You can't give an account because you can't. Everything that is shown in the book, you can't say, well, that wasn't me. You're going to just basically bow and say, you know what? You're right. It was
mm-hmm.
me. Even those who are lost, even Satan, who are told, even Satan will
mm-hmm.
bow and say, Lord, you are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Yes.
For it is so far, our son, as the seas of the continents are, the accuracy on the part of the earth is getting above. Yet, how little solitude is felt concerning that record which is to meet the gaze of heavenly beings. Could the veil would separate the visible from the invisible world, step back, and the children of men behold an angel recording every word and deed which they must meet again in the judgment. How many words that are daily uttered would remain unspoken? How many deeds would remain undone? Mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That was our devotion this morning from that. If we knew that every idle words we speak was being recorded, most of the words we speak would not speak. You know, we would not speak. But anyways, let's pray, and I'll open up for questions. We only have a few minutes. The line is going to shut down. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words tonight, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, have mercy upon us, O Lord, according to your riches and glory, according to your kindness and your mercy. We ask for your Holy Spirit to seal this study in our minds, Lord, to remember the significance and the importance of 1844. And these white robes that you are handing out now, Father, Lord, when is it going to be on our names? When are you going to pass on to the judgment of the living dead? You said judgment must begin first at the house of God. So, Father, have mercy upon us tonight, Lord. Bring us back to your original design. Teach us, Lord, to do thy will. Teach us to humble ourselves. Teach us to be obedient. Teach us, dear Father, to resist unto blood, striving against sin. Is what we pray and ask for. We ask it, dear Father. Be with all those on this line. Pour out a special blessing upon those who are listening to the study, Father. We thank you for thine word. What is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. You opening for, is there any questions before we play a song and the line will be closed so you can meditate on these verses and the scriptures? Press one. If you have pressed one before, press one again. If there's any questions, please. Okay. I don't see any. Have a good night.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. redeemed.